the Business on RTE Radio 1 with Bank of Ireland. Supporting businesses during National Enterprise Week this May 15th to 22nd.
Now, the debate around multinational corporations and the tax they either pay or don't pay in many cases has been going on for some time now. It's something that's been covered on this show on numerous occasions. But yesterday, Professor Mariana Mazzucato, author of The Entrepreneurial State, was in Dublin to deliver a lecture for the Nevin Economic Research Institute. She has an interesting take on the debate. She believes that US companies should be giving more back because, she says, they've benefited from innovation that's been happening in the public sector. We caught up with her for a few minutes before she took to the podium and began by asking her to give some examples of the kind of innovations she's talking about.
So, you know, the sort of theatrical way that I present my argument often is taking out my iPhone and saying, well, any of you who are not, you know, very convinced by this argument and think that the state really should step back, well, then the first thing you should do is throw away your iPhone. Why? Because everything that makes smartphones, not just the iPhone, smart and not stupid and dumb, are technologies that were directly funded by different types of agencies, including DARPA. So DARPA obviously was absolutely key to the internet, which allows you to surf the web with your smartphone. GPS, which allows you to know where you are using, you know, Google Maps and stuff like that. Siri, this voice activated system, and even the touchscreen display, they were all directly funded by different types of public sector institutions. So the first thing is just to admit that. The second thing is to learn from it. And to learn from it is quite interesting because we have to ask, well, what was it about DARPA that actually allowed it to play this role? And one of the issues was really that this was a public agency which was allowed to take risks. It actually welcomed failure. It brought people in from, you know, very high-level scientists to think big, to not worry about, you know, projects that would fail, because in fact they understood that in order to innovate you have to fail, fail, and fail again. Instead, unfortunately, often when the public sector does fail, we blame it, don't realize that the same thing obviously happens in the private sector, and that's because, again, we don't have this framework through which to see the state as an investor. And this is really important because by ignoring this transformational role of the state, we've also then not had the right debate about directionality. And so we should remember that, you know, NASA, for example, the National Space Agency in the U.S., which was fundamental to lots of these technologies around the IT revolution, was actually founded in an era in which the upper marginal tax rate, so what the richest people were paying in tax, was 93%. Okay, we are no longer in that era. So where will the money come from to finance the National Science Foundations of this world, NASA's, the SBIR program, which financed lots of early stage companies before venture capital was willing to do that? Well, that's a big question. You know, either we go back to those kinds of tax levels, or we could just say, let's just print the money. That's what we do with wars.
But I'm sure, Mariana, if Tim Cook or one of his other CEO brethren were here, one of the things they'd say is, well, the system does work. We may have taken what was originally publicly funded research, but we've commercialized it. The billions that flow to the company and that ultimately are taxed will help fund the generation of research that will take us into the future.
Yeah, so that's the usual line, which is, well, don't worry about the rewards. They already occur simply through these wonderful jobs that we create, meaning the businesses create, the taxes that we pay, the taxes that the people having those jobs pay. And so I've already mentioned that the tax rates are no longer what they are. It's also true that some of the supposed entrepreneurial forces in the economy, so those who like to present themselves as the entrepreneurs, for example, the Venture Capital Association, in both the UK and the US have been the lead lobbyers of reducing capital gains tax. On top of that, of course, we know these companies massively evade and avoid tax, legally, unfortunately. In other words, we are so obsessed about allowing companies to make profits that we are allowing them to pay less and less tax by having this kind of race to the bottom, through whether it's through schemes like TTIP or even through, well, to be honest, the kind of policies you have here in Ireland, which I find really problematic, and that don't help those other countries that, in fact, are financing the innovation itself, and then these companies just can pick up and leave and pay tax elsewhere. If we think of it as a global problem, you know, so the whole secular stagnation problem is presented to us as a global problem. You know, where will the big innovations come from in the future? Is it true that we're all, you know, that there's this inevitable low growth that we're going to be facing in the West in the future? Well, of course, that will be our future if we allow companies not to pay tax, if we allow them not to reinvest their profits back into the real economy, as opposed to, for example, just reinvesting and buying back their own shares, which is a huge problem. It's called financialization of the real economy. So buying back your own stocks to boost your stock price, to boost your stock options, which, of course, boosts executive pay. because executives, big executives, are paid mainly through stock options. And so this whole question of whether the return comes back to the state, of course, depends on all these factors. It depends on the upper marginal rate. It depends on the capital gains tax. It depends on the degree to which companies benefiting from these investments reinvest their profits back into the economy, so into skills and R&D. It also depends on prices of the products. Is it right that the pharmaceutical companies can get all the support from the state and then charge whatever price they want? Or should the prices of these products themselves be capped?
What's the solution then, if there is a brief solution?
The solution, I think, is not only the kind of New Deal mentality that many Keynesians like Joe Stiglitz and Krugman are talking about in terms of really kickstarting growth of the future, but also just a deal, a serious deal between different types of government, public institutions and private institutions, which allow us to build not just this trendy word called ecosystems of innovation, but more specifically mutualistic ecosystems of innovation. In other words, where both sides are really gaining as opposed to this race to the bottom. Anyway, it really requires asking different types of questions. So stop worrying about picking or not picking winners and really get into a serious, engaged debate about directionality and how together public and private can invest into the opportunities of the future.
Professor Mariana Mazzucato, whom we met at the Royal Irish Academy yesterday.